Heavenly Father, we praise you for this glorious morning. We praise you that you are on your throne. You're being worshipped and adored by angels and humans as we speak, and you're being worshipped and adored here. Father, we pray that your Spirit will help us to worship you as you deserve, to lift your name high, to proclaim your excellencies, your character, your works, to rejoice in our Savior and lift him high, that we will be strengthened in our faith in him, in our walk in him, and that those who are here today, if there are any who do not yet know Jesus, that they will see him clearly through the words proclaimed, through the lives that we are living, the love that we are showing, and the truth and the righteousness that's being proclaimed. Father, we pray that you would bless this hour. We can do nothing of our own. It must come from your Spirit. We pray that each of us will be filled with him, worshiping you with glory and praise, with hearts attentive to the message you have for us from all that's happening in this hour, from the singing and the praying and the message from the word. We pray that you will accomplish your purposes in our lives. Thank you, Father, for the joy and the blessing and the privilege of being here together today. And we commit the hour to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. And turn with me to hymn number 400. The scripture. This is the longest chapter in the Gospel of Mark, so we're going to break it down a little bit, and today we're going to look at the first 11 verses. Mark chapter 14. After 2 days was the feast of the Passover, and of unleavened bread, and the chief priests and the scribes sought how they might take him by craft and put him to death. But they said, not on the feast day, lest there be an uproar of the people. And being in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, very precious. And she brake the box and poured it on his head. And there were some that had indignation within themselves and said, why was this waste of the ointment made? For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence and have been given to the poor. And they murmured against her. And Jesus said, let her alone. Why trouble ye her? She has wrought a good work on me. For you have the poor with you always, and whenever you will, you may do them good. But me, you have not always. She has done what she could. She has come aforehand to anoint my body to the burying. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken of for a memorial of her. And Judas Iscariot, one of the 12, went unto the chief priests to betray him unto them. And when they heard it, they were glad, and promised to give him money, and he sought how he might conveniently betray him. Let's have a word of prayer together. Father in heaven, how we praise you and thank you for your precious word to our hearts as we see our Lord Jesus Christ drawing near to the cross. And we just pray, dear Heavenly Father, thanking you so much for the salvation that we have in him, and because he was willing to suffer in our place that we might have everlasting life. Lord, may we have the same sense of gratitude that Mary had as she anointed his body with this precious ointment. Lord, may we worship you, may we adore you, may we honor you and magnify your name in all that we do and say. Lord, I pray that you'll forgive us for our shortcomings, our failures, and give us the wisdom and understanding that we need so that we can do your will in all things. We thank you, Lord, for your Holy Spirit who lives within us to guide us in the way we ought to go. May we listen to the voice of the Spirit. May we heed the word of God that we have before us. Lord, help us to be faithful no matter what. We know, as we've been hearing recently, there's days of persecution are likely to come soon. And we pray that you'll keep us in your care and help us not to wither under the scorching heat of persecution. Lord, may your will be done. We think of other places where so many people are suffering already. They're in Nigeria, where these 300 girls were taken captive by these people. And so many times, our Father, believers are killed simply because they will not deny the Lord Jesus. Oh Lord, we pray, help us to be strong and to be able to continue on no matter what, in spite of all the changes that take place around us. May we indeed look to you and find that steadfastness that we need in this day in which we live. Our Father, we just thank you for our country. We thank you for the freedom that we still have and pray that it will continue, that we might honor and do your will and just live steadfastly in your presence. Thank you so much, Lord, for all that you are and all that you mean to us today. We pray for each and every one who is here today. Our Father, you know our hearts and you know where we stand with you. We pray that if there's anyone who does not know Christ as their Savior, that you'll open their eyes, our Father, and help them to see plainly and clearly that he is the way of salvation. And we pray that each and every one of us will have the joy of knowing you in personal faith. May your will be done. Lead us and help us now, and bless us in the rest of the service. In Jesus' name, amen. Once again to Mark chapter 14. The Jewish leaders, of course, had been planning for some time to do away with Jesus. They didn't know how to withstand his words and what he was teaching and felt threatened by him. And as we see here, the first thing, he's talking here about the plot that they have against him and working to shut up this troublemaker. This is the idea that they had, I believe. And we find here the scribes and the chief priests had determined that Jesus had to go. He must die. There was just no other way about it. He was too much of a threat to them. And they knew he was very popular among the people. That's the reason Passover time is coming. And this is when this Jerusalem was absolutely crowded with people from all over. And they listened to what Jesus had to say, and they thought, well, that's pretty good. You know, sounds good to me. And the leaders of Israel felt threatened by this teacher. And they sought to devise a plan to get rid of him without causing a riot. So they said here, as it says, it's only 2 days until the Passover and the beginning of the days of unleavened bread. That was a week's time, the Passover supper, and then the week of celebrations. And they said, we need to put him to death, but let's wait until after things quiet down again, after the feast day is over, so that there won't be a uproar among the people, as it says here. So the festival of Passover was celebrated, of course, God's deliverance of the people from Israel, from Egypt. You remember the last plague that God sent against Egypt was the death of the firstborn in every home that was not protected. And God told the Jewish people how to protect themselves against this plague was to put blood upon the lintel and the doorpost of their homes. And everyone that was inside was safe. The oldest son would not be killed. But throughout the land of Egypt, of course, the Egyptians knew nothing about this, and so they suffered from this plague, as it were, that the firstborn in every home would die and grief would go to every family. And finally, this was the straw, I guess, that broke the camel's back, so to speak. And Pharaoh finally said, okay, you can leave. You can leave Egypt. And later, of course, he changed his mind again, didn't he, and chased them down. But at least at this point, they were able to go out. And the Passover supper, the Passover season, this was the greatest celebration of the year for the Jewish people, remembering their liberation from Egypt, from slavery. What a wonderful reminder this is to them, and they still, of course, celebrate it today. Well, not this day, but I mean during this season. About the time when we have Easter, they're having Passover, right? Because they are connected, sort of, right? Passover, it was at the Passover season that Jesus was crucified and rose again from the dead. So it was precisely at this time. Now they said, we're not going to do this until after the Passover is over. But we see God had something to say about that, didn't he? Because it was important that Jesus make his sacrifice right at the Passover season. And so God changed things. And Jesus was destined to die as the ultimate sacrifice at Passover. Paul tells us in one place, Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. You see, it's all connected. And the blood that was put on the doorpost protected the people from the plague, and the blood of the Lord Jesus that was shed on the cross protects us from the terrible consequences of our sins, that we might have salvation through him. He is, as the scripture says, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. And all those who put their faith and trust in him are secure under the blood of Christ. In Matthew 26 and verse 2, the disciples said, you know that after 2 days is the feast of the Passover, and the Son of Man is betrayed to be crucified. That's what Jesus said to the disciples. So he knew exactly what was going to happen and was preparing himself for it. And here we see that nothing took him by surprise. And then we have this beautiful story of the anointing of this lady who came and anointed the head and feet of Jesus with this precious ointment. Notice what it says again in verse 3. And being in Bethany. Now Bethany was the place where Jesus usually stayed whenever he was in the area around Jerusalem. Rather than stay in the city, he would go out to Bethany, which was 2 or 3 miles away, and stay with his good friends, Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, their home. And they had some wonderful times together. You remember, of course, he had raised Lazarus from the dead. And so many other occasions that they had been together. And one of the sisters, Mary, loved to sit at the feet of Jesus and listen to what he had to say. And this is the one who comes here in this woman. Notice what it says again. In being in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, very precious. And she broke the box and poured it on his head. So here we have, in contrast to the evil plot that the Jewish leaders were making to destroy Jesus, and all of that went along with that, the betrayal of one of the disciples. Mark here inserts this story this wonderful act of worship and devotion on the part of Mary of Bethany. Look with me, if you would, to John chapter 12. It gives us a few more details about this same incident and tells us when it happened. We know that everything in the Bible is not necessarily chronological. Some things are moved around a little bit in order to make an emphasis. And that's what Mark has done here. Because it says there it was only 2 days until the Passover. But in John chapter 12, it says, then Jesus 6 days before the Passover came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served. But Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Then took Mary a pound of ointment, a spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Then saith one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the bag and bare what was put therein. Then said Jesus, let her alone. Against the day of my burying hath she kept this. For the poor always you have with you, but me you have not always. So here we find some other details. As I said, it was 6 days before the Passover. And the woman that came in with the ointment is identified as Mary of Bethany. Now we know in another one of the Gospels there was another woman on a different occasion that anointed Jesus. But these two are obviously the same story. And so she comes in and anoints him while he is eating. They had made a great supper for Jesus in the home of this man called Simon the leper. I would, guess, conjecture, as Steve says, that this was one that Jesus probably had healed. You know, he wouldn't be a leper at the time they were eating supper with him, would they? No. So he had to be one who had been healed. And here, Martha is serving the meal, as she did so often. We read on another occasion where she was serving, and it said that she was bothered about the fact that no one was helping her. She had to do it all herself. Ladies, you know how that is, right? Sometimes. And Mary was sitting at the feet of Jesus, listening to his word, and she says, Lord, don't you care that she's not helping me? You know, here I am slaving and getting everything ready, and she's just sitting there doing nothing, right? That was her idea, and yet Jesus said, Mary has chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away from her. It's not that she was doing nothing. She was absorbing what Jesus was saying, right? Which is very important. Now, it's also important, of course, to fix meals. We all enjoy. We all enjoy eating, don't we? I know I do. Anyway, but everybody has their own gift, right? We were talking about that in Sunday school as well. We're all different. Martha is the worker, and Mary is the listener and the one who worships. This is a picture to us. And Lazarus, it says, you're sitting at the table. He had been raised from the dead, and now he is fellowshipping with the Savior. Isn't that a beautiful picture? Think of this wonderful family situation. And here they are, sitting and enjoying this time together. And Mary comes in with this special flask of perfume or ointment that they use to show hospitality, for one thing. And usually they would put a few drops on the guests, you know, just to show their hospitality. You remember, you know, they didn't sit at a table like I saw on television the other day, the Lord's Supper. You know, they're all sitting there around this big table with all the chairs and everything. But that's not the way they ate. They had a very low table, and they would recline, you know, on one arm or something, and have their feet behind them. So what she did, she came in, first of all, was anointing his feet, which was customary. But she also then poured the rest of it on his head, showing her love and appreciation for the master. And here we see, it says that the whole house was filled with the odor of the ointment. What a sweet fragrance was in the air. And they all were enjoying worshiping Christ in this way. She anointed his feet and wiped his feet with her hair, showing the great appreciation that she had for him. And also, as it said, that she was preparing his body for the burying. Isn't that interesting? How did she know that he was going to die and be buried? Because she had listened to his teaching, right? The disciples, they listened to his teaching, but they didn't get it, you know? Because when he went and was crucified, they thought that was the end. Jesus had said he was going to die, yes, but on the third day he was going to rise again. But how many of them understood that? It doesn't seem that they did. And yet Mary must have understood it. She had some kind of an idea that he was going to be buried, and she's preparing him for that occasion. So we see here the wonderful insight that she got from listening to Jesus. And I think that's a good lesson for us right there. We need to spend time in his presence. We need to listen to his word. And of course today we listen to his word by reading it, by hearing it, and it is a great blessing to us. So she takes this little flask. It's a very expensive thing. He said that this ointment, I believe, came from India. Spikenard or spikenard, however you say that. Some kind of nard. You can look all those words up if you want to. Anyway, they say it came from India and was very expensive. It would cost the amount a person would make in working for almost a year. It said it would cost 300 pence, as it says in our version, which was a denarii, which was a day's wages for a worker, right? One denarius was a day's worker, and there were over 300, it was worth over 300 denarii, I guess. I get those words mixed up. But anyway, the idea is it was very expensive, and so she pours out this ointment on him, everything that she had. It's like the lady, you know, that only had a very small amount of money, and she put everything she had in the treasury, you see. She gave her all. And that's what Mary is doing here. She is pouring it all, her devotion, out upon the Lord Jesus. And notice what happened. Just as soon as she did that, there was criticism. Because she was showing her love and affection for Jesus, people got upset, didn't they? You know, oh, don't be a fanatic. You know, let's don't get overboard. You know, it's all right. It's all right to go to church. It's all right to read the Bible. It's all right, you know, to love the Lord. But just, you know, don't let it get out of hand, you know. And that's the way they were thinking here about Mary anointing Jesus. And it's interesting to see who was the leader in the criticism. As he points out here, It says, then says one of the disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, who would betray him. Why was this ointment not sold and given to the poor? And John, it's funny how the commentary he gives to it. He said he didn't say that because he was concerned about the poor. He was a thief. Now, it's a good question here. Why would you put a thief in charge of the money? Maybe Jesus is, testing him. I don't know. But anyway, apparently he was dishonest, and he put his hand in and took whatever he wanted to out of the treasury. So anyway, we see here something about Judas Iscariot. It wasn't just one time, it says the devil entered into him and he went and denied the Lord. But that wasn't the beginning of it, because he was always one who was greedy and who wanted to profit himself instead of helping others. And so here we see his hypocrisy and not caring for others, but rather seeking to enrich himself and condemning her for this. He really wanted something for himself. And notice what Jesus said. Jesus says, let her alone. She's done a good thing. Notice this. Here in Mark 14 again, verse 6. Let her alone. Why trouble ye her? She has wrought a good work on me. He says, this is a good thing. For you have the poor with you always, and whenever you will, you may do them good. But me you have not always. So, now there's a couple of lessons here, right? We should be concerned about those who are needy, right? Jesus said so. The poor is always with you. You can help them at any time. But let's get the emphasis right. He said, this is the time when I am going to be dying, being buried, and coming back to life again. She has done a good thing. And it says in verse 8, she hath done what she could. That's a loaded statement, isn't it? She has done what she could. I'm sure there were many things that Mary could not do, But she did what she could. And I think, you look at your own life, I look at mine, and we see where our talents are, the gifts that God has given to us, or whatever. And we do what we can, and not worry about the things that we cannot do, right? Some people say, well, I can't do so and so, so therefore I won't do anything. Right? Is that what happens? I think, we make excuses and we think, well, I can't do that. I don't have the money for this. I don't do that. So therefore I don't do anything. Now that's a little bit extreme, isn't it? Mary says she has done what she could. And then he says again, she has come aforehand to anoint my body to the burying. So, this extreme generosity on her part was because of something extraordinary that Jesus was going to do. And she knew it. And she was willing to sacrifice her ointment to show her love for him. We might say, well, that's a simple thing, just giving. But Jesus was pleased with it, wasn't he? And what pleases Jesus should be the thing that we go out for, right? To try to be pleasing to him, whatever that might take. And then notice he says about this in verse 9 of chapter 14. Verily I say unto you, Wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken of for a memorial of her. And, you know, this is found in several of the Gospels, at least two. And every time we bring forth this message, she's remembered and honored because of the act that she did. And Jesus said, rightly so. And, you know, I don't think there's anything wrong with honoring people that do something worthy, right? And here with Mary, this was an unselfish act. She wasn't expecting any acclaim from it. And yet Jesus says, wherever the word of God, wherever the gospel is preached, the good news, she will always be remembered. And that's a good thing to be remembered for. Worshiping the Lord. Serving Him. You know, we can all do that, can't we? You know, and give our devotion and our love to Him for all that He has done for us. She was anticipating what He was going to do. But we can look back at it, right? And realize all that the Lord Jesus has done for us and the sacrifice that He made that we might have our salvation, that we might rejoice in Him. So he's saying here, it's a very special thing. And she's honoring me, and she has done what she could. So that's quite a statement coming from the Lord. And I'm sure each one of us would love to hear Him say that about us. And Warren Wiersbe has said, Judas called Mary's worship waste, but Jesus said it was a lasting memorial. You see? Her name is held in high esteem, while Judas is branded forever as the betrayer and traitor. You know, our actions many times determine our legacy, what's going to happen and what people think of us. And of course, Judas is always thought of as the one who betrayed the Lord. Whenever you see his name, it's always there right beside it, right? And Mary, on the other hand, is honored because of her faithfulness. Now, and speaking of that, the last couple of verses here, it speaks about Judas agreeing to betray Jesus. And you know, the way this is placed here, it makes you wonder if these two accounts have something to do with one another. Because it was right after Jesus rebuked Judas for his criticism, the next verses say that he went to the high priest and to the chief priest and to betray him unto them. And when they heard it, they were glad. They were trying to figure out how they were going to trick Jesus into being captured. And now Judas voluntarily goes to them and agrees to betray him, betray the Lord Jesus to them. Perhaps he was upset, I believe, and offended because Jesus had rebuked him. And we know that he was greedy and he loved money. He says that in the portion we read a while ago. And some people have also surmised that perhaps he was disappointed that Jesus had not sought to overthrow the government, the Rome, you know. He was perhaps a zealot. We know one of the other disciples was called a zealot. And perhaps Judas had that same idea and thought that Jesus was going to defeat the Roman government and bring an uprising. Perhaps that's true too. So the chief priests were happy to use him to get rid of Jesus and gladly accepted his offer. Now, I can't help but think, you know, after it was over, when Jesus was condemned, Judas was convicted. Apparently, the influence of the Satan left him, I guess. And he was desperate. He took his money back and threw it into the temple court there. And the Jewish leaders said, do whatever you want to do. They didn't care anything about this man at all. They were just using him, as so often happens. Ungodly people will take advantage of situations like this. So, in the midst of all the intrigue and plans to betray the Lord Jesus, we find this wonderful act of devotion here on the part of Mary, and the love expressed by her actions. And Jesus acknowledged and accepted her worship and commended her for her willingness to sacrifice something very precious for him. May we follow her example and give our all to him as well. We certainly don't want to be remembered like as Judas, but it would be much better to be remembered the way Mary was, for her love and devotion for Christ. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word to our hearts this morning. May we take these things to heart and do what we can, whatever that is, for your glory and for your name's sake. May Christ our Savior be glorified in our lives. May we never be guilty of betraying or turning against you, Lord, but may we stand strong and steadfast for the truth. May your holy will be done. Lead us and guide us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.